Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, everybody, and welcome to this year's Jyväskylä University Education Research Spring Colloquium. We may say this is a new tradition, but it's already a tradition. And this year our theme is changing environments of learning and growth. And we will have plenary sessions in collaboration with a master's program in educational sociology and policies. And some of these plenary sessions will be organized jointly. And some of the sort of breakaway sessions will be only for our program, for the colloquium. And we start today with a plenary, which is a dialogue between Professor Anna-Maja Poikkeus and Professor Päivi Tynjälä. And they represent the Faculty of Education and the Finnish Institute for Educational Research. And if you need to check the program, what is in the program for today, you can either check it on the screens here briefly now, but also we do have the program on the notice board over there, and it's also available on the faculty website and the Finnish Institute for Educational Research website. And I would not like to steal more time from the dialogue that we are going to have. And after the dialogue, we will have presentations, and then we'll have a lunch break, and the afternoon will be in L building, Liikunta building, so just a little bit up the hill. But look at the session program for the, for the plenary session. As well as tomorrow. And tomorrow we start with breakaway sessions. So tomorrow there will be four different sessions on current topics where we do have research today here at this university. And you are most welcome to the sessions as well tomorrow. So check tomorrow, it will be four different breakaway sessions. And in the afternoon tomorrow, we'll have the plenary together with a master's program in educational sociology and politics. But not more. If you have any questions concerning practical matters, you may find me somewhere here. So do ask me or my colleague Marianne Okkolin or Anna-Mari Kokkonen, who are organizing this event together with me. And now Professor Anna-Maja Poikkeus and Professor Päivi Tynjälä.
Good morning. You're warmly welcome on behalf of us to the opening, or this is more like an overview of what we are doing research-wise, both at the faculty and the Finnish Institute of Research for Education. And we wanted to sort of look at the main highlights, like what are the research projects that we are currently carrying out in the themes of learning environments. But first we have to talk a little bit about what is learning environment and what are our emphases in our research. And after our little half an hour presentation, then we get more to the real business of the research project themselves. But I'm currently working as a vice dean at the faculty and responsible for some of the developmental work in research, and I'm going to give you some ideas about how learning environments, that theme, is manifested in our research. And hopefully you will join in and give some ideas. And this is Päivi Tynjälä. You want to say something about...
Okay, thank you very much and good morning, everybody. I work at the Finnish Institute for Educational Research, which is a separate institute. It means that it's not part of the Faculty of Education, but it's an independent institute, and it's a national institute for educational research. And I work as a professor, and my research field is teaching and learning in higher education. So we are going to introduce you to research in educational research at the University of Jyväskylä, and first some background ideas for our research. As you all know, we live in a world with big global challenges and fast continuing change. Some experts say that during forthcoming 20 years, the world will change more than during past 200 years. So the change is very, very fast. And biggest change drivers, according to some experts, are globalization and digitalization, and also robotization, which is related to digitalization. So these are big challenges for education and education system. And there have been many different studies about what kind of skills and competencies and expertise we need in the future. And this is just one example from the American Future Research Institute. And there are different other studies like this. And common to these lists of skills needed is that usually they begin with collaboration skills or social skills or people skills, however they are titled. Here it is social intelligence. Also, different kind of thinking skills are emphasized, and creativity. Here, novel and adaptive thinking and design mindset, they are related to thinking and creativity. Also, cross-cultural competency and transdisciplinarity or interdisciplinarity are recognized as very, very important skills today. Here is another example. It emphasizes that in addition to certain kind of knowledge and skills, it is also important to nurture certain kind of characteristics or character of students. And this list of these characteristics is interesting. You see that the first characteristic there is mindfulness. So meaning that we need to be aware of ourselves and aware of our environments. Then there are characteristics like curiosity and courage, important for creativity. Then there is resilience. We are living in the world with big challenges, and we need resilience to cope with these challenges. We live in a world with different kind of ethical issues we need to solve every day. So ethics is important. Also leadership. And this leadership does not refer only to leading others. It also refers to leading oneself. So in some other list, there would be self-regulation or some other kind of concept for this. So these are big challenges for the education system and also big challenges for educational research. So Anna-Maija, I would like to ask you, what kind of educational research do we need in this fast-changing world?
That is the most difficult question, the trickiest possible. I think we were thinking about this the other day with Päivi, that the main thing is that the future is unknown to some extent. At least we know that there's going to be increasing changes in some of the characteristics of the environments, more like this kind of curiosity, innovative, cross-disciplinary collaboration. And we know that the learning environments have to reflect that diversity of skills and challenges. Maybe the basic learning skills are not that different. You have to search for information, analyze that critically, do comparisons, analysis, synthesis. But the learning environments may be more complex, or at least we think that there are complex problems that need to be solved, and we have to reflect that in our educational system. It's interesting that nowadays when you look at definitions of learning environments, they are quite open and multifaceted. They refer to places, spaces, but also communities and practices. And they often are comprising both informal, formal, very sort of diverse environments like shown in the picture here. So how do we research something that complex, and what kind of context we should be focusing on. So we feel that we have to also look at the pedagogical practices in these diverse environments. This week we had an advanced level seminar with some of our students, and Henri and Roope were presenting their views about learning environments. And I asked if I can share those ideas that they had come up with. And I think that they had a really sort of nice idea about learning environments. They felt that it's important to look at the learning conceptions and how they are reflected in a curriculum. They had been analyzing the new national core curriculum for basic education and looking at the changes in the way that that curriculum talks about learning environment and learning in itself, like conceptions of learning. And they found that the text nowadays always sort of makes a clear link between learning environments and interaction, participation, collaborative building of knowledge. And they felt that, well, that's really good. But then how does it go into practice? How do we see that in our learning environments, for instance, schools? And they were wondering whether the surrounding society determines what the schools should be looking like in the future, what kind of practices, what kind of learning we want to promote there, or are the schools the drivers? Can the schools sort of start that kind of new thinking? What is the environment which supports those skills that Päivi was mentioning? And what do the current learning environments support? Do we know enough of that? Do they allow creative thinking? Are there some traditions in the schools, or how schools are led, or what kind of curriculum the schools themselves write, and what kind of expectations perhaps the parents have, some expectations that do reflect on the school's practices. And they were thinking about these various perspectives of students, teachers, and of course the sort of the school administration, teachers, rectors. And they strongly felt that the physical structures or solutions in the environments, they are just one aspect of these changes and challenges. They can support the development of pedagogy. And they didn't sort of mention sort of like the word new pedagogies, because I think that we sort of were thinking that, well, pedagogies will have to adapt to the needs, skills needs, and the environment, and they always have to evolve. And their last point was, why is development of a school so slow? Why does it take such a long time to get to the curriculum, changes, the reforms, and then to the practices? In the faculty, we have several big projects and smaller projects, which have a certain sort of a line where the learning environments are centrally addressed. And some of these themes will be dealt with a little bit later. For instance, there are research projects looking at the children's daycare environments. Not just the quality, but how do the environments respond to the sort of modern needs of parents who are working non-standard hours, for instance, or equality in childcare. In the area of adult education, professional agency, and identity, the learning environments can focus on the adult learning places and changes in work. What are the important skills that you have to negotiate your, when you have a need of negotiating your role in a different way, and you have to respond to the new needs in your workplace, also in a collaborative way. And Kaija is going to tell more about this.
Yes.
And then we have some research looking at children's development and motivation in learning environments through the years, from preschool to later years. And in this line of research, we're interested in teachers ways of supporting children's participation, inclusion, what kind of dialogical teaching practices can help children to sort of develop these skills of being autonomous and creative and learn problem solving. And we also do a lot of observations in the daycare to look at the toddlers' interaction with their with the adults in the daycare. Then we have research on teaching learning interactions in the physics and mathematics classrooms where the environment is clearly sort of focused in certain science-based teaching, but the main focus also there is how the environment can be built in a way that it supports interaction. And then there are research projects where the main focus is on interventions, for instance, interventions of learning disabilities, where an important aspect is helping children to be more aware of their sort of motivational needs and feel more self-efficacious about their own skill development. And this shows one of the sort of the umbrella projects in the faculty, the multidisciplinary research on learning and teaching, which sort of collects together a lot of these projects where the idea... Sorry, this is going too fast. The idea is that integration of these different approaches is necessary to sort of understand more about the dynamics of learning and teaching and the learning environments, the characteristics of the environments that do support learning and teaching. And there are different projects from the sort of like the basic level of processes of learning to the very sort of application level. This is one of the rooms that is over there on the first floor, the Ruusupuisto Learning Lab, which is one of the learning environments that we have built in the past year. It wants to be a place where different kinds of research projects can be started, and there you can. It's possible to try different sort of approaches to pedagogy. You can have groups of children, students, adults working there, and there's the equipment for documenting with high quality cameras, 4 cameras, and a very good high quality microphones, and also a lot of sort of mobile equipment that you could take to the schools or daycare centers or to the working places, and also some sort of sophisticated eye tracking device applications that are going to be used in our next studies to look at the attention between teachers and students in the classrooms, for instance. So if you have any ideas that you would like to sort of look into when looking at the microprocesses of learning and teaching, keep in contact. this slide just gives the one idea that when we're thinking of developing learning environments which contain technological innovation, so you want to help the teachers and students to become sort of competent in using different technologies, there's always the challenge of learning new. And many studies have shown that the mere sort of presentation, the introduction of the computers or laptops or iPads does not mean a big leap in pedagogy. It takes time. But the idea is that the attitudes are very important, that the teachers eventually, after sort of having support, felt that they were less scared of using technology in learning and teaching. And that's a big change, and that's a start for new pedagogy. And the last slide here is just some examples of research which is focused on technology-enhanced learning environments. There are several more, but this just shows that we are doing research with different age groups in preschools, in high schools, in university courses, and with different kinds of approaches, looking at sort of game-based learning or teacher training. Okay, what about the Finnish Institute of Educational Research? What kind of highlights do you have in this kind of research?
Thank you, Anna-Maja. Our institute has three main research areas. The first one is focused on learning, teaching, and learning environment. Very similar research as Anna-Maja told you about, and also many of studies we have some collaboration in these studies. And in this, and the second research field is related more on relationship between education and the world of work. And the widest focus is on research in education systems and society. So we can see here kind of three levels of research. First, focusing on learning processes, and then a little bit wider education and work relationship, and then the wider education system and the society relationship. And we have several research teams in these three main areas, and you can see in this picture that many of these teams, they overlap these two or three research fields. For example, here is one research team called Lifelong Guidance. It studies guidance on the perspectives of learning processes, also as an interface between education and work, and also as guidance systems in society, how to develop guidance systems in society. And this is very international. Sorry, this is very tricky. Yeah. So different studies may focus on one of these areas or two or three of these areas. And as I mentioned, some of these teams are close collaboration with the Faculty of Education and Department of Education and Department of Teacher Education. And for example, there are studies on technology enhanced learning environments, as Anna-Maja mentioned, learning skills, technology and teacher education. Päivi Häkkinen will talk about these studies later. Then we have studies on learning communities, interaction and dialogue, working life learning and education, and so on. And the biggest projects are related to international assessment studies. Most of you have probably heard about PISA studies, but there are also many others, other big international assessment studies. For example, PIARC, Program of International Assessment of Adult Competencies. Then there is TALIS, teachers, it's related to teachers' learning and professional development. This is crazy. I should not touch it, yes, and maybe not watch it. Well, okay, maybe I will move, because we don't have much time. I will move to some examples. You know this PISA study, which aims to evaluate education systems worldwide by testing skills and knowledge of 15-year-old students. And this is an old picture of results. This is from 2009. I'm not personally involved in these studies, so I didn't have the latest information. But you probably know that Finland has been very top on these results. But in the last study, Asian countries such as Hong Kong and Taiwan and Singapore, Shanghai area of China, They are now on the top of these studies, and there has been a lot of discussions about reasons for this, but we can't go on to that discussion now. So these international assessment studies are the biggest project we have in our institute. But we have also some other big project, and the other example I show you is the peer group mentoring for teacher development. And in this project, we have developed this new model of mentoring, a new model for teacher development. And I will show you just a one minute video about what is it all about. Sorry, it seems that we don't have voice here. So this is not working. Sorry, we didn't test it. Yeah.
But you can know so, where to go
now. And we don't have much time, so maybe we can yeah. Okay, now but I have to start it again if we need to skip it, but you can watch it later on. It's on the website of this project. So if you can, I don't know if you can see here, but I will go to the PowerPoint, then you can see it. Which one is it? Okay. So, sorry. You can see here the website where you can watch the video. So these were just examples of studies in our institute, and there are many others. And you will hear some examples in the lectures later today. So we have maybe 1 minute time for. Any questions or comments if you have? If there are no questions, we thank you and we can go on with the program. Thank you very much.
I also thank you. I'll leave you with this last slide, which just shows that when you are modifying learning environments or bringing out new ideas, it's important to notice that it's not only us researchers, it's also teachers who can make a big change. For instance, this teacher who took the desks away and started doing pedagogy in a different way, or these young people, our youth who are doing a lot of social media work and sort of adapting their own environment. So all of these people have had more than 1 million followers, and for instance, those vlogs by this young girl, they've been watched over 17 million times, meaning that there's a lot of influence if you are using the environments very effectively.
Thank you.
Thank you. I would now like to welcome Professor Anna Rönkä and Dr. Eija Sevun, who are going to talk about families as changing environments of growth and learning.
Everybody. My name is Anna Rönkä, and this is the picture there. This is Eija Sevun, and we represent in this plenary education and research relating to family. It's also important for students in educational sciences to learn about different family forms, parenting, and also good practices in family and professional partnership and cooperation. This presentation is divided into two parts. First, I will tell you about some of the key changes in family nowadays, and also show how we in our department and faculty are studying these phenomena currently. And secondly, Eija Sevon will present you a new possibility to gain expertise in family life within an international learning environment, namely by participating in a new researcher workshop, Transition to Parenthood in a Cross-National Perspective, Global Challenges, Future Solutions, and Eija will later tell what it is about. Family institution and family life have experienced both continuities and changes. As to the continuity, it is the importance of family ties and family relations that remains, both among children and among adults. But there are also remarkable changes, as we have already heard earlier. And in this presentation, we have grouped these changes into three levels. The changes related to macro level include those focusing societal context and environment, as well as cultural ideals and expectations. The second level of changes involve changes in the inner world of families, in terms of family structures and family forms, family roles and relationships, and daily lives of families. And thirdly, there are also changes with respect to cooperation with families and professionals, and also changes related to family services. We start from these macro level changes. As examples of the societal and environmental changes shaping family life, we would like to bring up so-called 24/7 society, also immigration, decreasing fertility are major societal changes current life. 24/7 economy means a society which is open all around the clock, and where part of employees work evenings, weekends, and nights. The children typically need childcare outside standard hours and often irregularly. We have studied this issue in three research projects. Of these, two are still ongoing, Family 24/7 and Ohoi projects. And we have approached these non-standard work and care times from the points of view of parenting and children's well-being, and we have studied this in a cross-national design. And we are here in Jyväskylä among the first in world to study the quality of childcare and early childhood education and management in day and night care centers. And the aim of OHOI project is to enhance professional competence and management in day and night care centers, where the key challenge is to fit pedagogy and activities into very individual and often irregular care rhythms of children. What has changed concerns to a large extent expectations and ideas relating to good and proper family life. And in our studies, we have, for example, studied young women's expectations, that we will study young women's expectations of work, family, and work-family reconciliation, parenting in a competitive society, also childhood in a competitive society, and childcare and upbringing values in Finland, in many other countries too, because we think that this cross-national design is almost a necessity to study these cultural ideals and how they have changed. Not only have family forms, different family forms increased, but also there is nowadays more variation in the living arrangements and lifestyles, and also in the pathways to parenting and family life. And in our department and faculty, we have studied and will study multiple pathways to parenthood, motherhood, and also fatherhood in different situations. And for example, family roles and relations after divorce. In public, there is a much debate about lost parenting and king children. According to research, the picture is more complicated. According to research, key changes in this area are related to increased democracy and altered power relations in between genders and generations. As a consequence, there has been changes in the positions of children, mothers and fathers in the family. Actually, parents are more aware of their task as parents than earlier. But on the other hand, there has been polarization in parenthood due to several factors. In our faculty, there is a long tradition in fatherhood research and how fatherhood has changed. Nowadays carried, for example, by Johanna Mykkänen and Maria-Leena Böök. When it comes to family theories, there are many different family theories which we study in our courses, but in our department, we have nowadays strong emphasis on so-called daily approach to family. This means an attempt to understand the daily dynamics in families and between different life areas, working life, family life, spousal relationship, parenting, and so on. And we have had an interest to develop new methods suitable for capturing daily family dynamics. Eija and I have used and also taught a diary method with traditional paper and pencil, but also with a new kind of electronic tools. And Johanna and Maria-Leena Böök, they have developed visual methods to study daily family life. Finally, the previously mentioned changes in family life and environment have an influence on the cooperation between families and professionals. This relationship has become more complicated nowadays. In our department, in addition to studying partnership, the interest is how power and governance are constructed and sustained in cooperation. Professor Marit Alasuutari has a long expertise in studying this partnership phenomena. And we have also an interest in developing new kind of family interventions, preventive family preventions, and study their effectiveness. And if you are got interested, we have listed here our recent publications. So we are quite a big group of people, some of them there sitting in the audience, and I I'm sorry that I might not have listed all the family-related research here, but please ask if you are interested. And now Eija will continue and tell you about this researcher workshop.
Good morning, everybody. So as you know already, my name is Eija Sevun, and would you have some comments or questions related to those research topics or issues in family life? Perhaps it's difficult to suddenly to discuss big areas. But now I try to explain you how you students are able to participate if you are interested in family research and how it might be linked to educational issues. So I introduce you this kind of a series of international workshops that we got funding from the Finnish Cultural Foundation this February. This is a new issue, but it's a good opportunity to invite international experts to Jyväskylä and to start to plan a new kind of research. And what is our interest in here is transition to parenthood, and especially in a cross-national perspective. And we are trying to find that kind of global challenges or map them, and then also to find some kind of solution that might help parents in the future during these early years of parenthood. And we have thought about how to involve students to these workshops. So you can see from the slide the aims of the workshop. And as you can see, there are 5 countries involved in this series of workshops. So Finland, but also Portugal, UK, Australia, and Japan. And we have some collaboration going on with these countries and the scholars in there already now. But we are also trying to bring new people into this workshop and create collaboration related to this research topic. And what is the interest or the key interest areas in there is, of course, this transition to parenthood, but we are interested in how gender equality and also work and care reconciliation is enhanced, or what kind of factors hamper these issues. And also we are interested about these kind of interventions and family services, how they could be developed. And one aim in this international workshop is also that we enhance international and family expertise and networking, and this involves also students. And in practice, what was the plan for this Finnish Cultural Foundation was that we have 4 seminars during 2 years, and as you can see, the first one is already on August, and then the second one also in Jyväskylä in next March, but then also one seminar is probably in the University of Manchester, and then the fourth one in Jyväskylä in May 2018. And also you can see that all these workshops, they have a bit different interest in there, but also we are going to plan these workshops together with these international collaborators. So something might change. and what we wish that we achieve through these seminars is that we have a good kind of clue or kind of view or vision about those global trends, and also that kind of national particularities related to transition to parenthood. As you probably know, that there are different kind of welfare and gender regimes in different countries, and these issues, even if they are kind of topical right now in different countries, they might have different kind of solutions and different kind of barriers that affect transition to parenthood. And also we are trying to create a research strategy for cross-national research. And of course, when we are doing cross-national comparative research, there are these kind of methodological issues that are also discussed, and we'll try to learn how to do this kind of comparative research. And also we want to develop or get knowledge about good practices and tools that might support parents during this important life phase. But then what you students, if you are interested, might do, and how would you participate in this workshop? So now I'm talking about the first workshop, but we think that we involved students to each workshop shops. I don't know whether this University of Manchester, how it goes on, but perhaps we can develop something for that, of course. But I think that different students can take part in the different workshops. And now I'm talking about this first one, which is in August. But these are kind of the aims that what you would get from taking part in this course. And I have the handout, so I won't read all the details from here. And what we thought that students might do, but this is also that kind of collaborative course that we plan it also together, and because we haven't had any this kind of workshops, so it's also a new issue for us, so we need to discuss and create together that kind of workshop and organizing it. But perhaps there is at least reviewing relevant literature and statistics, and also we think that we need web pages, so there might be planning and preparing these pages, and also other material. So if you have expertise in these, it's a good addition. Also, we think that it would be nice to have posters that somehow illuminate different countries and the family life and transition to parenthood in these countries. And also you can participate in this seminar and also assist during the workshop. And here are some details. We thought that we might take 10 students, and this is open for Finnish students and international students. This is related to this one course, Family and Upbringing, Key Concepts and Approaches, that is also in the curriculum of the master's degree program in education. And and this is the first workshop is related to this summer teaching and summer courses, so you can get credits for during the summer period. And what we thought that it might be good that you write an informal application, and we have Korppi pages and also Koppa page that you can submit this application, and here are the deadlines also. So, and I think that, was it in here? No. That the registration to the course, it starts on Friday. So there is information in our web pages also after this seminar. But if you are interested, I have handouts here, so perhaps I circulate them.
And we have some time for questions. If you like to ask about this workshop or about family research, family-related education at the faculty, so please ask. And I think that last slide is that there are also other possibilities. You can do your master thesis in this thematics. And we hope that we get later funding for the research too. So in that case, we will involve students to the project and also these other seminars. And we think that it's a good way to link research and education and to create a learning environment about this research project and network. But any questions, comments? Yes, please.
Sorry, I was a bit late. Is research going on at the moment? Is this research that is going on at the moment, or is it going to happen?
Well, we do have some research, of course, but we are also planning to start a big research, international research project. We have already applied funding, but we don't know whether we get the funding, but we will continue this, and with the help of these experts from other countries, we will prepare so good application that finally we will get a funding.
I was wondering, because perhaps you have some interesting results to share on family and...
Yes.
At the moment, I mean, right now.
Yes, we have, okay. Because you came late. Yeah. Perhaps we earlier told about what kind of research we have, and we do have a quite large group of people doing family research at this department. In every, both at the Department of Teacher Education and at the Department of Education, in all the units also.
And I hope we do get the slides so we can then share them with our students. Yes. And so there will be a list of publications.
Yes. Any other questions, comments?
Perhaps I can leave the handouts to Elina, so if somebody is interested and if there are not enough of them. So you can contact Elina or me or Anna.
Or if you send them by email, then we could have them in Optima folder for the students or Koppa. You have the Koppa page there.
Yeah.
So that will be on the department website, I assume.
Yeah.
And if you'd like to know something more about this workshop, you can send emails to us. We can answer, because it might be not so nice here to pose questions, but we can answer you later also.
Thank you. Thank you. And now I would like to welcome Professor Päivi Häkkinen, who will discuss also technology enhanced issues, but more related to teacher education and researching that.
Okay, good morning, everybody. It's now time to go to one particular type of changing learning environments, the kind of environments that involve somehow technology present in some role. And even though this is entitled as related to teacher education, it could be as well, I think, relevant for school settings or for more generally to university teaching. Teacher education is actually very close to my heart because I strongly believe that future teachers are in a key role when trying to change the school culture. As Anna-Maja at the beginning suggested, that teachers also can make a big change. So I come from the Finnish Institute for Educational Research, but working very closely with the teacher training department. So I will first outline some of the key challenges that we face as educators and educational researchers at the moment related to technology-enhanced learning. And then I will propose some theory-based or evidence-based approach to tackle these challenges. And then I will take one particular example of our studies in the from the context of teacher education. So as you have probably read from the media and newspapers, we sometimes give an impression that we are worried about the presence of technology in educational settings. And we know that students use technology a lot in their free time activities, in everyday activities, but the school use is much less frequent. And I'm not sure if I'm worried about this fact, but I'm more worried about the fact that despite of the fairly good infrastructure, for example, in Finnish schools, the pedagogically relevant uses of technology vary a lot between different schools. And at the same time, we have also recognized some of the challenges, of course, the decreasing trend of learning outcomes, but even more the fact that Finnish students are not satisfied with the school and they have difficulties with cognitive and emotional engagement in schoolwork. And some of the researchers, for example, in the Mind the Gap project have recognized the kind of a gap between school practices and the skills and abilities that these students have or would have that they have developed in their free time activities. But I claim that we have much more speculations than evidence about this kind of a new student generation that some people call digital natives. We don't actually know whether there's digital natives at all. We probably know that it's at least not a homogeneous group of students. And there are different profiles. These students might be fluent with the use of social media, with gaming and so on. But if we go to the functions of using technology, for example, online inquiry or collaborative problem solving or other types of cognitive strategies, the students have difficulties with these things. There's also already some evidence about this phenomena. But anyway, if you think about changing learning environments and technology, so technology has at least three roles in this area. On the one hand, it sets challenges for example, our more and more technology-intensive, knowledge-intensive society sets certain challenges for building learning environments. But on the one other hand, technology can offer some solutions for tackling these challenges. And I will later show you some examples about this. And thirdly, a very timely topic today is that technology can be used as an analytic tool embedded into learning environments and providing helps for example, improvements and interventions in learning for learning progressions. I think that the lack of using technology for relevant pedagogical purposes is that we haven't learned enough on learning theory bases when designing and evaluating these environments. And I think that the biggest challenge is how to create many-sided pedagogical and technological practices that aim to enhance learning with understanding. And I think that this presupposes very deep integration of technology and pedagogy. And the positive thing here is that when we take technology into use, it in a way forces one to more explicitly think about the kind of learning that you want to facilitate. So we've been working quite a lot on trying to recognize what are the sustainable learning theoretical principles, what it means as a pedagogical practice when technology is present. For example, we know from a long tradition of learning research and learning science that learners' active mind is in a key role. Knowledge is something that you can produce and manipulate and work with. It's not just something that you acquire. And what it means as a pedagogical and technological practice, it means that we should then offer learners mind tools for learning, the kind of tools that enable you to build knowledge, monitor one's own learning. Sometimes it's concept mapping, semantic networks, inquiry learning tools, could be personal learning environments or in general, mind tools for learning that are not doing the learning for you, but gives you a kind of a mirror for your own learning. The second principle deriving from learning theories is that today's learning environments are supposed to be meaningful and authentic cases and dealing with authentic problems, real-life problems, gives you the possibility to integrate theory and practice and apply the knowledge in the situations where it is used. And what this means in terms of learning environments would be, for example, offering simulations, perhaps sometimes mobile tools with video clips and so on. But the key thing here is that you should explicitly think the kind of learning you want to facilitate in each case. And already in the first talks, collaboration was one of the core areas in today's learning theoretical thinking. And we strongly believe that social construction of knowledge can be something that can go beyond individual thinking and individual learning outcomes and at its best produce something unique and something that you couldn't individually achieve. And examples of collaborative technologies could be collaborative games, social media. I mean that these technologies can be, sometimes they are specifically designed for learning purposes, like collaborative games, designed for learning something, or they can be technologies that you just take and tailor in for the learning purposes. But I think that altogether we should be more aware of the learning into which learning theory principles our learning environments derive from. Well, the fact is that, as at the beginning also it was illustrated, that our changing learning environments are very complex, and they also raise challenges for educational research. That is actually very true in technology-enhanced learning as well, because our real-life learning environments can be very diverse in that sense that we integrate personal and collaborative learning activities, physical, virtual activities are integrated, formal, informal learning contexts or resources are sometimes merged, local, global as well. And at its best, the technology is present where we need it. We are not at the moment going anymore so much to the computer lab, but instead using the technology for various kinds of purposes, for information search, for sharing, and so on, in the particular situation where it is happening. Anna-Maija mentioned at the beginning about the attitudes of teachers being in a crucial role as well, and there's also some evidence about the fact that simple tools and rich pedagogy is something that works usually in a best way in this area, meaning that when you don't need to invest too much energy on technology itself, it gives you the capacity to design richer pedagogy around it. For us as researchers who study learning and technology, you usually hear a question of what is the impact on of technology on learning? And it's always indirect, I claim. It depends so much on the way in which and for which purposes technology is used. You can use almost any technology for very traditional teacher-centered, teacher-directed pedagogy, or you can use it for active pedagogy, such as inquiry-based collaborative use. I will now take an example of our own study, which is connected very strongly with teacher education. It's called Preparing Teacher Students for the 21st Century Learning Practices. And it's a consortium project of three universities, University of Jyväskylä, Oulu, and University of Eastern Finland. And the very general background here is related to so-called 21st century skills that were referred to at the beginning as well. And we follow all the teacher students starting from year 2014 from each of these universities and take every year the new students with us. And what we follow is their strategic learning skills, for example, cognitive strategies, metacognitive strategies, collaborative problem-solving skills, and technological pedagogical content knowledge and their attitudes towards technology. Actually, the core of the longitudinal part here is very much based on self-report questionnaires, but in some of these sub-areas we also go to more objective measurement of the actual skill, and I will take an example of that soon, but we are interested in how these particular skill areas developed throughout the studies. We also conduct in some part of the study more process-oriented research, making some interventions and in these particular sub-areas. But I will take one example of this research, and this is particularly related to the Jyväskylä part of this study. And we are very much interested in students' collaboration skills and their ability to solve problems together. This is also very strongly linked to what we call embedded assessment or technology-enhanced assessment. Meaning that, as we know, that assessment practices are something that very strongly guide pedagogical practices and renewal of schooling. Actually, here we are not so interested in assessing ICT skills as such, but its use for particular purposes. And in this case, it's used for working collaboratively and solving problems collaboratively. So I think that generally we aim to criticize the type of assessment that focuses on a very narrow, easily measurable skills and knowledge to the measuring more complex and also ill-defined problems. So the core interest is try to evaluate how students collaboratively solve problems in technology-enhanced settings and how they progress in skill of doing this. If you ask from any teacher, school teacher, for example, how would you assess your students when they solve problems collaboratively? It's a very timely question at the moment when our curriculum renewal is going to be implemented. So this is a very challenging question that teachers have difficulties to answer very easily. But we also, as researchers, have a lot of difficulties and challenges here because when we go to the assessment and measuring, and when we are talking about assessing something as complex as collaboration is, we need to merge the kind of normally separate research traditions like testing theory-oriented psychometric traditions to something that has very strongly focused on processes of collaboration and trying to understand processes as a complex phenomena. So this is a real challenge. Another timely field here is also, if you have heard about learning analytics, meaning that we should provide students with sophisticated tools and methods to trace and analyze learning progressions and utilize this information by bringing it back to the users in order for them to improve their skill progression, a kind of an idea of a formative assessment. But we don't have actually so far very much of these kinds of tools. So this, what we are trying to assess here is collaborative problem-solving skill. It's a very timely topic also in that sense that it was for the first time this spring, last spring, assessed in PISA study. Even though in PISA they talk about human-to-agent collaboration, so collaborating with a virtual agent. Whereas in this assessment and teaching of 21st century skills study that we lean on, it's an earlier study, they talk about human-to-human collaboration. Two humans solving problems together, and we are trying to assess that. It leans on a very comprehensive framework that has been developed as part of this earlier project by about 200 learning scientists from all around the world. They have defined collaborative problem solving as the ability to work as a group to solve common challenges through the exchange of ideas, knowledge, and resources. You can find a lot of information about the framework, which captures collaborative problem solving as cognitive and social comprising of cognitive and social components, and further on dividing each of these components to specific subcomponents. So on the basis of this framework, our collaborators from Australia, the Assessment Research Centre, University of Melbourne, have developed a kind of a portal that aims to integrate teaching and formative assessment in this particular field. And in practice, it's a portal of learning and assessment tasks that aim to measure current skill level and learning progressions in this CPS area. In practice, the tasks are complex, game-like tasks. They are mainly related to science and math domains and related both to curriculum contents and generic skills, roughly lasting from 1 to 2 hours, and each pair of the student completes the bundle of assessment tasks here. And the core idea is that it's a real need for collaboration because each collaborator has a unique set of resources in their hands, so you cannot perform on your own. What I found as a most powerful part here is that there's a very extensive work that Australian people have done in developing the behind-the-scenes data analysis and automatic scoring here. So in practice, we capture here data as a kind of a process streamline, and it captures the action chat chains of the interaction and work of the students. And patterns in this data are automatically coded because on the basis of the theoretical framework that I just showed, there are some behavioral indicators that indicate the certain sub-areas of the CPS skill elements. Then there's an automatic scoring based on rash analysis, and this is a long story, but if you are interested, I can give you some readings about this. This behind-the-scenes data analysis and the data it produced is then linked to the reporting modules. And these reporting modules, I will show you shortly, are something that can be then returned back to the end users, teacher in a classroom or student group or students by themselves. For example, this way. They can show the students the skill assessments either at the individual level. For example, you cannot now see it very clearly, but you can see the level in which you are, for example, cognitively in collaborative problem-solving skill at this particular moment. And it's this is kind of a Vygotskian idea that you could then, it's explained that if you are at this level, you can do this and that, and at the next level, you could reach this and that. And in the social level, you are here and there. And then you could, for example, do the same session after half a year and see if there's any progression. Or teacher can take a class report, seeing that all of my students in a social component of collaborative problem solving, they are at the moment in this particular stage, and they could then further on develop to something else. So this is an example in which technology is in a dual role. In the one hand, it's a collaboration platform. Game-like tasks are conducted and you need to communicate through the platform and solve the problems. And it's also, on the other hand, in an analytic role in a very strong sense here. Very shortly, just analysis that we are just doing very intensively because we have many kinds of data here. We have more subjective self-report data, students' own interpretations of these collaborative problem-solving sessions, but then we have this measurement data got through the portal and so on. But some very high-level or general results that, particularly in the teacher education contexts, teacher students are very strong, and particularly in Jyväskylä, where we are working a lot in teacher education collaboratively in these home groups and in that sorts of structures. So first of all, students self-reported collaboration dispositions, a kind of a general attitudes towards collaboration. They are evaluated as very high. And for example, in PISA study, they believe that this kind of a general disposition towards collaboration is something that predicts the actual collaborative problem-solving activities as well. And actually, if you think about the social skill part and cognitive skill part of problem-solving, in general, social skills were very consistently at the high level, but there was more variety in the cognitive skills among teacher students. But in school settings, this has been earlier by Arto Ahonen tested in 5th, 7th, and 9th grade in school settings, and there are not so necessarily so strong, students are not necessarily so strong in these social level, social skills parts, but you can easily understand that teacher students are naturally good in this. But if we combine, for example, the more subjective and objective data, and for example, take a look at how students' dispositions towards collaboration were, there was, for example, some variable that was called negotiation, a kind of an general approach to collaboration in which you highly appreciate the kind of a negotiation activities, perspective taking, listening to others, and so on. That was very strongly and positively correlated with social skills of problem solving. Well, at the moment, we are very interested in going in our research to very detailed process tracing methods, trying to understand possibly different routes to successful collaborative problem solving without oversimplifying it only to the end result that you are at this level and this way. And here we are very interested in trying also alternative methods such as eye tracking and sorts of things. We are also interested in not only seeing this collaboration skill as such, but its relation, for example, to cognitive and metacognitive strategies that our collaborators in University of Oulu are studying a lot. And we have, from our initial data, already found different profiles of students. For example, one interesting group of students is the kind in which you have evaluated your collaboration skills very high, but your strategic learning skills, like cognitive and metacognitive strategies, not so high. And your earlier school success in this group is not very high either. And we are interested in seeing how it is realized in a process data in which students solve differently structured problems, very open-ended and more closed problems. So various this is a very nice displaying around with data, with different types of data and different levels of data. But you can follow this, for example, from our blog site that you can find, for example, from the website of our institute. How much time? Perhaps some. Okay, this example that I just presented, it on the one hand has a lot of research challenges and directions that we could go on, but what is interesting here is that it focuses on a very timely challenges that our schools are also facing, and we believe that our teacher students are in a key role here, and one idea here is that we want to offer teacher students also possibilities to study in a way we are supposed them to teach their students in the future. And for example, this collaborative problem solving and the capabilities of assessing it, we believe it is something for the future. And we have here in the concept that we call teachers in the clouds in the Department of Teacher Education, and they are studying very strongly or following the phenomenon and inquiry-based learning approaches, utilizing technology, conducting experiments with schools. They are also interested in collaborative teachership, and particularly they have a very strong vision for future schooling, a strong future orientation. And we would like to see a strong integration of this kind of research projects, for example, the example that I showed, being in strong connection with teacher-students. Teacher-students, for example, taking the portal, going to the school, experimenting with students, and so on. I don't talk about this, but just because we promised to share the slides, I just put here also one of the practical developmental work on PedaNet that we have conducted here, because it's one of the platforms for our research and distributing the, for example, this kind of ideas that we have developed in this collaborative problem solving. Yeah. So perhaps while checking the final slide, you can think about the questions that you have in your mind. I didn't talk in my presentation anything about the kind of a basic skills or particular situations on learning difficulties, particular areas of math and language learning or anything like that, in which automatized drilling type of learning still has its place. But I wanted to focus more on something that is not so often present in discussions of technology-enhanced learning, and it's the encouragement for this kind of a higher-order thinking skills. And more generic thinking skills. Okay, thank you.
We may have time for just one urgent question, if there is.
It is. It's more a thought than you said, like you think technology affect learning in an indirect way. But I was thinking from a really pedagogical way of thinking, technology has changed the way we learn, because you don't need anymore a teacher to tell you what is something, but rather to help you to find out. Like now the knowledge is available online, there is many people sharing, constructing. So this part of the technology has already changed everything in school. Like you were focusing more on how we use concrete technology, but I think it's also that it has already happened a change that is still happening. And both of the sides go together. When you try to use technology in school, you have to think how technology has already changed learning. I don't know if I explain myself.
It has changed, but it doesn't automatically change the pedagogy into the direction that we wish it to do. Yeah, that's very true that knowledge, information is around us everywhere. I mean, it's not living anymore in the books, but or in the head of the teacher, but you can reach it from various resources, but it doesn't automatically change the pedagogy. For example, students spontaneous, I mean, do not necessarily develop spontaneously in everyday learning situations the kind of skills that are even more important in this kind of a complex world in which knowledge lives around us everywhere. I missed the point. Did you have some particular question even?
I was thinking kind of, you cannot avoid technology. Like, you cannot choose just when you use it or what is the purpose of your use, but rather it's going to be there, want it or not, because kids will go home and will have internet and they will be learning farther than school. So it changes a little bit how you approach how to integrate it when you think in this other part of it.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that in real life practice, we are still far away from really being capable of integrating, for example, informal learning resources and what you do at home. And this is what I referred to at the very beginning, to the gap between schooling. But still, quite often, as I mentioned, that we use easily technologies in a very traditional way, even though you could do various kinds of flipped classroom projects or things like that. And I think that there are still barriers that derive more from the attitudes than... But of course, we have also in Finland very innovative projects and a kind of a lighthouse projects and teachers who utilize fully, for example, the mobile technology, informal learning resources, are not leaning on lecturing type of teaching anymore, and so on. But technology is everywhere, but you need to use it smartly. Yeah, you cannot. You are very true in that you cannot avoid it. And we are not. We are having it in a role that we are not always even consciously thinking about technology as a learning tool, but you just have it there everywhere in a situation where you need it.
Thank you very much. As with other presenters, the previous ones also, if you have more questions, you can then either put them in if you're in attending some of the courses in the Optima space, and then we can forward them, or you can contact directly the presenters. I hope they will respond to you, though they are busy. But now we would like to move on, and I would like to invite Dr. Ulla Klemola, who is coordinating a very interesting project which relates to a great extent to what Päivi just presented. And she will talk about collaborative development of university pedagogy here and e-education at the University of Jyväskylä.
Okay. Hello, everyone. As Elina told, I work as a pedagogical coordinator at a university-level project which aims to develop teaching and learning here in higher education. I come from the department... I also coordinate this teaching development project and also this... curriculum renewal of our university. But I come from the Department of Teacher Education, and my research interests are in social interaction competence of teacher students. And because I'm also a senior lecturer of the pedagogy of physical education, I ask you to stand up. Please stand up for a while. We've been sitting quite a lot. And stretch a little so that you will get energy to the rest of these presentations.
And while you're stretching, I have one question for you. Has anyone seen an old film, a romantic comedy called Pretty Woman? Okay. So do you remember what was the first question asked in the beginning of the film? Does anyone remember? A guy walking on the street. The question was, what was your dream? Welcome to Hollywood. So now we will talk shortly. What is your dream? Welcome to the University of Jyväskylä. And now take a pair from a friend next to you. Check someone you can talk 2 minutes. And now you can stay standing or you can sit down and I will give you the question to talk about. All right, now you have about 2 minutes to change ideas and your dreams. What would a collaborative teaching and research community of your dreams look like? Feel free to chat. Little by little, you can stop your sentences. Okay, now we stop. Thank you for this nice talking to your friend. We will come back to these dreams later during this presentation. So you can. This question was to inspire you to this team. During my presentation, you can also put some comments or questions, feelings to this Padlet platform. So if you take a picture of this QR code or go to this address, we will capture the ideas you have in your mind. Okay, I'll wait a while so that you can go to this Padlet pages. Okay, are we ready? Here we go. So in the strategy of the University of Jyväskylä, the vision for the year 2030 is that our university is an internationally renowned multidisciplinary research university and one of the world's leading universities in the field of learning and teaching. And in this building, as well as in other faculties and departments, we take this vision seriously. But there are changes which need to be done in the question of teaching and learning in higher education. And we at the university level, we have been already taking some steps towards this vision and this goal. So the goal of education here at the University of Jyväskylä is that we educate future experts who are also feeling well. So we take care of the well-being of the students here. And we have actions in three ways which we think that this goal might be achieved. So one way is the curriculum renewal, which is right now going on here at the University of Jyväskylä. Then we have which we called teaching experiment model. And the third way is our student life concept. And here in my presentation, I will briefly talk about this curriculum renewal and student life and concentrate more on this teaching experiment model. Our motto in developing teaching in higher education here in Jyväskylä is this better pedagogy together. And we find it very important that all the students and the teachers here might work as active agents and to work collaboratively. So first about this curriculum renewal. Rector's guidelines on curricula and teaching schedules for academic year 2017 and 20 give us the direction for the renewal. And the idea is that curricula are developed so that the contents as well as the modes of teaching and studying ensure students' growth into confident academic experts who have ability to think critically and creatively, as well as have that all the students would have courage to approach those complex problems that are faced in this changing society. So the idea is that the curriculum renewal will be done for the best of our students. And how we support teachers and university workers to find the best for the students. So we give some support. Firstly, we arrange curriculum series, oppsarja in Finnish, and these seminars will be once a month, and they are open for everyone. And the next seminar will be next Monday, so welcome. We are in, well, that's in Finnish, but we can arrange. Just when you come, just tell me that you want something in English too. All right? Okay. And so these seminars will continue this spring and the next year as well. Vice-Rector Helena Rasku-Puttonen, who leads this curriculum renewal as well as this teaching experiment model, she has visited all the faculties and we have discussed with the heads and teachers there. We have also created a network of pedagogical heads of all the departments and units, and we have get together afternoons 4 or 5 times during the academic year, and then now with this curriculum renewal, also focused training for them, for example, how to lead this curriculum process, this renewal process. So the second way in our collaborative model is student life concept. You probably, do you know student life concept already? Have you heard about it? Okay, that would be a theme of one presentation, so I will only open it up. But you can go to the websites and see more. But this student life concept is a unique concept and a model created and developed here in our university. And it aims to find and offer optimal prerequisites, how to pronounce it, for studying and learning. And the idea is also to give support for student development and growth. And for that, example of that is this Hyvis teachers, counselors, who will help students with their questions. We can really be proud of this student life concept, I hope it will help us towards the goal of educating future experts. Now the third way to the goal and the vision is the teaching experiment model. And I describe it here as a snowball model. And the idea is that if we start here, that a teacher who wants to develop his or her pedagogy and his or her teaching has an idea how to do something differently. Then we gather those teachers together in a multidisciplinary group, and with the help of each other, their idea will develop. Then the teachers put this idea into action, into their practices. And then the idea will be shared in their units and departments, but also at the university level, to get more knowledge and more ideas how to develop teaching. And then it's also important to spread this pedagogical innovation and teaching and learning ideas. And for that purpose, we have created a research period system which can be applied once a year. And it helps teachers to report about their pedagogical practices and the results. And it's also important that the idea will take root so that it will finally be a snowman. This is, even though snowman melts every spring, we hope that this growing snowballs will affect so that the teaching and learning culture at the unit and departments will change to face better the demands that the working life and the society gives us as experts in everyone's field. So the key idea is supporting teachers and rich pedagogy, and also that teachers share what they have tried and what they have been thinking. The idea of giving, the idea of getting. So, unfortunately, this is also in Finnish, this slide, but just briefly some ideas of this. So at the moment, our theme of teaching development is this e-education, this technology-enhanced teaching and learning. And the development and the research, they go hand by hand in this model. We collect the teachers as a group, and this group and this support is going on 1 year for these teachers. So in these meetings we have here teacher meetings once a month, and there they will get some support and they share their ideas, and we try to offer the knowledge the teachers might need. We also have some lectures for the whole university, students and teachers, about these, for example, now about these e-education issues. We have a group several groups who are supporting teachers with their development work. Koulutusneuvosto, what is that in English? Education Council is the basis or the back of this project. And then we have a group of experts who are planning and supporting ideas. Then I, as a pedagogical coordinator, help to organize and work. I work with the teachers. And then we have a researcher, Päivikki Jääskelä, who is sitting up there, who is researching these experiments and the teachers and the students within this project. And with this a theme of e-education, we have created a new way of working with the teachers, and they are those ICT godparents who come from the ICT services of the university, so they will help the teachers as well. So has we something in the Padlet right now? Let's check. Where is my... here? Okay. The opportunity to pass in English was opened up. Maybe I don't understand that first question, but let me see. Okay, thanks for those comments. We'll organize and keep it in mind. All right. Continue. A few words about e-education, digital learning environments, which is now going on. So the teachers want to enhance, will use technology enhanced learning in their teaching. So here you can see what we aim, what the teachers aim, and one important thing is to strengthen the quality of teaching and learning. And also collaboration, as Päivi mentioned earlier, both Päivis actually, is important, and this research-based development. Within this project, we have also started collaboration with Aalto University in Helsinki. It started last year, and we are continuing it. They have started Aalto online learning project there, and we collaborate teachers here and there together. We have started mutual research projects concerning these teaching experiments models, as well as teachers' technological, pedagogical thinking and how they, what kind of feelings they have towards changes in teaching. I had some tasters of these e-education experiments, but because of the lack of time, you can watch them when you get these slides. So sharing and supporting were one ideas of this collaborative development of university pedagogy model, and research is also one of the foundations in our work. So Päivikki will tell you tomorrow more about this, our research, but it will have four sections: support and structures of development at the university. What helps, what hinders teachers to develop their teaching is one interesting area. The research is interested in the pedagogical thinking and the activities of teachers, evaluation of the development, and learning and agency. And here, if student life concept is one of the innovations of the University of Jyväskylä, I want to say that this agency measurement, agency university student scale is one of the innovations which will give us new information how we can reach the goal of educating future experts. So we started with a dream of a collaborative teaching and research community. I would love to hear your dreams during the lunch period. But what I suggest that we should cherish the dialogue between students and teachers and researchers. We should talk, listen, and share our thoughts, our fears, our enthusiasm, and we shall start to do something differently. And if we dare to do this, if we dare to share, if we dare to do things differently, then I think that our future will be colorful and bright. Before I finish, I just want to welcome you to the Congress of Pedaforum Congress. It's about university pedagogy and how to develop it. And the theme is, passion and welfare in campus. So that's why the owl has a pink eyeglasses because it's great to find something new and also to get joy and happiness of sharing ideas together. And I also have some produce of that. So the call for papers is going until the 20th of April. So just go and send your abstract. We'll be happy to have your ideas there. Okay. In those Beta Forum project, it's quite wide. There are different types of themes. One is these new environments of learning and welfare is one, collaboration is one. So there are, it's quite large scale. Pardon?
We would need microphone now, but you're asking if is it in Finnish only?
No, a Beta Forum project, one of our keynote speakers come from Australia, so that lecture will be in English, and also in those workshops you can present in English. So you're really warmly welcome there. Okay, my time is finished, but thanks a lot.
And now we have the last theme for today when we are looking at different learning environments, and I would like to welcome Dr. Kaija Collin, who will discuss her projects researching work-related learning.
Hi, everyone. I think we have been sitting still quite long time. Sorry. Nothing.
I'll change the slide.
Ah, sorry. Sorry about this hustle. So my name is Kaija, and I have been working at University of Jyväskylä quite a long time and have been researching workplace learning about 15 years now. I know we are all quite hungry and quite tired. My colleague, Australian colleague Stephen Villay talk about brute facts, and he means that there are actually brute facts. We are tired, we are hungry, we are getting older, we can't see, we can't hear. But let's try together do this last one. Okay, so after that we can have lunch. So, I started thinking what to talk to you today, and I thought that I am not going to present only what I have done with my colleagues during the last years in research related to work-related learning, but I decided to investigate what kind of work-related research is going on in here, in this building, in our faculty, and in our in the institute, Finnish Institute of Education Research. And actually I was quite surprised how much work-related learning research we are currently conducting. And that's something I try to present to you as well today. And as Anna apologized that all of the appropriate and important studies are not included. That's true also in my presentation, so I beforehand want to apologize that some of you may have something important research might be missing here, so hope to add them later in if something like that has happened. So I have defined work-related learning quite loosely today, so it means that there might be also many other kind of definitions. And I have divided work-related learning roughly in two parts, first of which concerns work-based learning, which refers to learning which is mostly taking place during when we are training and educating ourselves in schools and, for instance, in vocational education institutions. And that means that learning which is taking place, for instance, in vocational education institutions is guided, it's deliberate, and it's part of the education itself. So there will be workplace learning periods which are guided and they have aims, and the learning itself is the focus. And another part or another division of this work-related learning research is authentic workplace learning, which refers to kind of learning which is taking place in any kind of workplaces. It's very, very embedded, very, very strongly embedded in doing the actual job. So the learning itself, it's not the issue there, but that we get the job done and we can do the tasks which are given to us as employees. That's the biggest difference between the two. It's very simple division here, but I hope it's clear for you what's the difference between. So when we are talking about work-based learning, I found out that there are four different themes related to that aspect or part in our building. The research related to work-based learning is about education and working life pedagogy in higher education, expertise in higher education and working life in general. And what comes to authentic workplace learning environments or contexts, I found at least seven different kinds of contexts which our research is currently focused. And those are engineers or technical designers, I would say. Healthcare sector, for instance, hospitals are the contexts in which we are currently doing research. University itself, of course. Information technology, educational leadership, work-family interface, school teachers, to name a few. As you can notice, here, the themes we have heard today are very overlapping. Unfortunately, Anna mentioned, for instance, the Ohoi Hanke, which I have totally forgotten here, so no problem. They are overlapping and so they are complementary. And if we are talking about the work-based learning research, we are doing in this building right now, or we have done a few years ago until these days. It can be mentioned that Maria-Lena Stenström, who is the emerita professor from the Finnish Institute of Education Research, has a long history of vocational education research, and as well as Anne Virtanen has done much work-based learning and training in vocational education. Raija Hämäläinen has conducted the design studies aiming to find innovative practices to utilize knowledge webs in different work and learning environments, for instance. Marit Virolainen has researched learning from work experience, work placements, vocational and professional education, construction of vocational and professional competence, cooperation and collaboration between world of work and educational institutions. There are long lists of different themes. I'm not going to tell them all here, so if, when you will have my material, you can get more acquainted with these issues. And of course, there is Päivi Tynjälä's research. Päivi talked us first in the morning, so Päivi has been done a lot of working with working life pedagogy in higher education and expertise at higher education as well. And then we have Päivi Vuorinen-Lampila and Leena Penttinen from Teacher Department of Teacher Education, and they have studied higher education to working life transitions and working life skills and guidance, for instance. Any questions? Nope. Hungry still? Well, this authentic workplace learning part is a bit difficult because so many things can be related to work related learning. So the research we have been doing in this building are not only on workplace learning, they also can be on professional development, expertise, professional identities, professional agency, employee well-being, creativity, or for instance leadership or educational leadership as well. But if I start with the teachers, the context which I mentioned before, the teacher-related research is quite natural in this building because we are educating teachers and other professionals in the field. So there are researchers on professional development, well-being at work, professional identity, workplace learning, collegial expertise, professional development, and mentoring, which was also mentioned in Päivi Tynjälä's presentation in the morning. So it's good that we have heard something about that before. Then Anna Rönkä and Eija Sevun told about work-family interface and the projects related to that theme. And also Johanna Rantanen from Teacher Department of Teacher Education has researched themes like this. And of course we have research from the Institute of Educational Leadership, for instance, on distributed leadership, and also there are lots of research which is focused on school principals and superintendents, as we all know. Then I am going to talk about a bit more what we have been with our colleagues in past 10 years. So I start with the engineers. I started with design engineers in my PhD project in 2000, and after that workplace learning has been in my interest. But of course the focus have been changing a bit, so after I have been interested in studying workplace learning, I realized that there are many other related themes which are also important. From my PhD project, I learned that I need to be interested also in work experience, as well as collaborative practices and shared practices to name a few. And then we had a possibility to continue with postdoc project in hospital here in Jyväskylä. And actually we have had a long cooperation with local hospital and its different units. And I am very proud of that because it's not very self-evident to have an access, for instance, operation theaters and such kind of places. So we have studied in the hospital. We have studied, for instance, surgeons' expertise and professional identity in our Search Skills project, which is on surgical learning and workplace guidance. And after that project, we realized that we should be more interested in interprofessional collaboration because, for instance, in operating theaters, nurses and doctors are working together. They need to have interprofessional skills and competences to be able to do the job in a good way. So we had an opportunity to start a project in which we studied interprofessional collaboration in emergency unit, which we thought would be a good place to study interprofessional phenomena. And that's how started our INPROF project, which is on promoting teamwork processes and interprofessional collaboration in emergency work. That's the INPROF project. And at the same time with this INPROF project, there was another project going on, which it's called here Pro Agent, which is also focused on professional agency and identity, and was led by Professor Anneli Etelä-Pelto. And also in hospital setting, we have a couple of studies, and Panu Forsman's study is the one, and it's focused on changing work organizations, creativity, and professional agency, which is now an ongoing project. Okay. And finally, I would like to tell you a bit about our ongoing project. So when we returned back to university setting from the hospital, we understood that we should also be interested in professional agency, creativity, and leadership practices. And that's why we are now studying such kind of phenomena in IT sector, which we think would be as a point of view, as a starting point, it should be very creative branch or field of employees. And we are also very interested in how leadership practices and our leaders and managers can enhance the manifestations of professional agency and creativity. And that's why we now are carrying out the CREANSU project, which is going to end by the end of this year. It is funded by the Finnish Work Environment Fund, and we do close collaboration with people and researchers from the School of Business and Economics here in Jyväskylä. So as you probably have noticed that many of the projects I have been talking about are quite multidisciplinary, and that's why we need to collaborate with different disciplines as well and try to find ways to learn from each other in that sense as well. In this project, we utilize an ethnographic and mixed methods approach. This means that we have gathered our data with the help of observations, interviews, surveys, and different documents. And now we are analyzing our data, which is quite massive, as you can imagine. So our preliminary findings shows that leadership actually is very important enabler of creativity and professional agency. And we have also found that there are many other aspects affecting creativity and the manifestations of professional agency. For instance, customers, the nature of the work itself, collaboration, and of course the leadership. Our aim was, in the beginning of this project, our aim was to try to construct a model which would describe the concept of professional creative agency, but that's something we have now forgot because that's too difficult. We probably need to talk about more on creativity and professional agency separately. So, I tried to be quick. Any questions? And because I have been this quick and short in my presentation, of course you can ask if you have something in mind. I can try to answer anytime.
So we do have time for at least one urgent, immediate question. And then as Kaija, like all the other presenters this morning, have promised to respond to our inquiries or questions, comments later as well. And we will have their presentations shared by those who have registered. So you will have access to more materials as well. But one immediate question is welcome. No, not now.
Just lunch in mind. That's understandable. Okay, thank you very much and enjoy your rest of the day and tomorrow. And of course this work-related learning research theme continues tomorrow. Yep. As well.
Thank you, Kaija. And thank you all presenters of this morning. And as Kaija reminded you, many of the themes that we have discussed today will be continued tomorrow morning in the breakaway sessions. This afternoon from 1 o'clock, we will be at Liikunta building in L building. And then do remember that afternoon sessions will be there. Tomorrow we'll be again in different places, and tomorrow afternoon back here again for the final plenaries. You are welcome to go and find your lunch on the way to Liikunta, to L building. Thank you for this morning sessions.